Joshua chapter number 4, I'll read just one verse of scripture this morning. You can be seated. Verse number 7, let's see, verse 6, we need to read verse 6. Give you the background. Joshua chapter number 4, Moses is now dead. Moses died at the ripe old age of 120. The Bible said back in the book of Deuteronomy, the last chapter, that Moses' eyes was not dim. His strength had not waned. There was nothing physically wrong with Moses. But God allowed him to go up to the top of the mountain, Mount Pisgah, and look over into the promised land. But Moses could not go into the promised land because of his disobedience. If you remember that God had told Moses one time to smite the rock and water came out of the rock, but the second time God said to Moses, speak to the rock and water would come out. Moses got angry, smote the rock the second time, water did come out, but God said, Moses, because of your disobedience, you'll not be able to go into the promised land. You say, preacher, why did that just seem like such an insignificant thing? Well, you read over in the New Testament, in the book of Corinthians, that Jesus was that rock in the wilderness. One time was he smitten. One time he was nailed in anger. One time he went to Calvary. He'll never be smitten again. He'll never undergo the punishment. He'll never undergo the crucifixion again. When people come to the Lord today, they speak to the Lord, they don't smite the Lord. Amen. And so God said to Moses, Moses, I'll let you see it, but you can't go in. And then the Bible said something, you read things and then you read things and it just pops in your mind. But there in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, the Bible said that Moses died, and I don't know, maybe God just hugged him to death. I don't know. But he just wrapped his arms around him, and Moses died. Nothing wrong with him. Didn't have any kind of ailments, didn't have any sickness, didn't have any kind of physical problems. He died. But here's what the amazing thing. God performed the duty of an undertaker, and he buried Moses there somewhere in the mountain. That was amazing to me, that God would bury Moses, but God did that. You come to the book of Joshua. Now Joshua steps on the scene, and God has appointed Joshua to lead the people into Canaan. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Those aged 21 years and older have now died. Those that were the young people, now they're beginning to get ready to go into the promised land. And as they get ready to go in the promised land, humanly speaking, they've got to cross the Jordan River. And Jordan is always a picture of death in the Bible. But now they've got to cross the Jordan River. And God says, I want you to cross it not where it's the easiest, not where the water is the least. I want you to cross it where it is the swelling Jordan. You might say, preacher, why in the world would God offer such a request? I mean, humanly speaking, it'd been a whole lot easier if they went upriver to a place where the water was just like ankle deep. But no, God said, I want you to come down to Jordan. I want you to get down to the place where it is rushing, where the water is turbulent, where you could be sucked into it. And there is where I want you to cross the Jordan River. Humanly speaking, you and I would have said, now wait just a minute, God, I know what you said, but let me just work this out on my own. I can do a lot better job of it than you can. And I'll go upriver to the point where I can just wade across and we won't have to worry about me drowning. But that's not what God said. Sometimes the path that God takes you is not the easiest path of life. Sometimes the path that God takes you is the hard journey. It is the difficult journey. But it is the will of God for your life to go in that direction. And so they get down to that edge of the Jordan. The water is rushing. It is about half a mile to a mile wide where they're going to cross at. And God says to the priest, you carry the Ark of the Covenant. And once the feet of the priest touch the waters are going to part and you're going to go over on dry ground. They obeyed the Lord. In chapter number 4, the priest, chapter number 3, they came down to the river. They crossed over on dry land. Now here's what I want you to see out of chapter number 4, one verse of scripture, verse 6. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. And notice verse 7, mark it in your Bible. Look what he says here. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Here's what God said. Once you have crossed over muddy Jordan, I want you to choose out 12 men, one from each tribe. I want you to go back into the river, and I want you to find a stone. I want you to pick that stone up, put it on your shoulder. I want you to bring it to the other side of the Jordan. And there I want you to erect these 12 stones as a memorial. I preach on the subject today, Memorial Day. So the Bible says that these men obeyed. Joshua chose one man out of each tribe. They went back and they found the stone in the riverbed. They laid it on their shoulder. They came to the other side. They laid that stone down. And there, the Bible said, in the years to come, when your children walk by this place, and when your children see that pile of stones, and they ask this question, what meaneth these stones? Daddy, what do these stones mean? Why are they piled up right here? What is the significance of these stones? Daddy, granddaddy, tell me, what do these stones have to do with our heritage? And then the parents and the grandparents could say to their children and their grandchildren, son, I want to tell you the story. When we got ready to cross over Jordan, the river was turbulent. It was churning. It looked like certain death. It looked like we were going to die. But God said to go down through the river at this point, and God prepared the way. And when the priest stepped into the waters parted. We walked over on dry ground. In fact, it dust kicked up on our shoes. There was not a bit of water that we got into. And son, I want to tell you something, that God is faithful, that He has called you, He will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Where God guides, He does provide, and that my God will make a way when there is no way. Amen. Tell your children that. Tell your grandchildren that. Tell these little ones, have faith in God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Parents, we need to be in the business, as it was said already this morning in Sunday school. We need to be in the business. It is our responsibility to teach these young people, to train these young people. This is the way. Walk ye in it. They want to see daddy reading their Bible. They want to see mother reading their Bible. They want to see mom and daddy in church. They want to see a prayer life that's real. They want to see something that's genuine. My friend, listen, if the kids don't see it, if the young folks don't see it, my friend, it don't mean a hill of beans of difference. But when we as God's people erect some stones and say, son, I want you to remember that this is what God did for us. This is where God led us. This is how God provided for us. When there was no meat in the pantry, when there was no groceries in the closet, God met our need. When there wasn't money to pay the mortgage, God met our need. When there wasn't gas money to put gas in the car, God met our need. He is faithful. He is faithful. I think there are some stones we need to erect in our lives this morning. There are some things that we need to remember. I want to give them to you real quickly this morning. Number one, I think we need to remember Calvary. Remember Calvary.
Remember the place in which Jesus died. Jesus said that night when he broke that bread, and when that night that he instituted the Lord's Supper, and that night that he met with his disciples, he said, "This do in remembrance of me." Remember that every time we take communion, that we take that wafer, and that wafer is symbolic of the broken body of Christ. The wine, that grape juice, is symbolic of the blood of Christ. Remember the great sacrifice. Remember it cost him his blood. Remember the beating. Remember the scourging. Remember the crucifixion, how he was led between two thieves and crucified. Remember the crown of thorns that went down his scalp and out the sides. Remember the lacerations on his back when he stood in Pilate's judgment hall and the skin just fell from beneath his back. Remember the soldiers that they smote his face. The Bible said that he was so marred, didn't even look like a man. They jerked out his beard, they jerked out his hair, and they spit upon the Son of God. Remember the stone of Calvary. When we get discouraged, when we get downtrodden, when we think that we can't go any further, remember he went all the way. Never turn back. Never turn back. Remember that night that Peter in the garden? Remember when Peter grabbed the soldier's sword and started swinging that sword? And Peter, he wasn't too good of a fisherman. He was worse being a swordsman than he was a fisherman. As he swung that sword around, he cut off a servant's ear by the name of Malchus. And Jesus said, "Peter, put up your sword." He said, "For if I wanted to, I could call 12 legions of angels to deliver me." 12 legions was somewhere probably around 144,000 angels. Could you imagine the massed army that God could have summoned at a moment's notice to come down and deliver his son? Do you remember? Do you just think for a moment what one angel could do? You read over there in the Old Testament that when Hezekiah prayed and the Sennacherib's army had encamped around Israel, that one angel, just one, smote 185,000 soldiers one night. Just one angel. Think of what 144,000 could do. But Jesus said, "I'm going to the cross. I'm dying there for you, for you, for you." Remember, when we get through this valley of life and we get through these hard times and we get discouraged and somebody says something they ought not to, and somebody hurts your feelings, and somebody lies about you, and somebody does this, you say, "Oh, I think I'll just quit. I think I'll give up. I don't think I'll go back to church any longer." Listen, remember the stone of Calvary, how that he went all the way. He gave his back to the smiters. He set his face as a flint. He went all the way to Calvary, died for our sins, paid our sin debt, full and free, for you and me, so that we might have eternal life. Second of all, this morning, quickly, I think we need to remember not only Calvary, but I think, my friend, we need to remember this morning about those that have sacrificed for us. We need to remember Calvary, as I hasten over. We need to remember from whence we came. As the songwriter said this, "I was lost and undone, without God or His Son, when the Savior reached down for me." How many of you remember where you were at, what you were like before you got saved? I'm not trying to brag on the devil, but how many of you remember what it was like? Raise your hand. You said, "Preacher, I don't want to go back there." Go back there for just a moment. Raise your hand. You remember what life was like before you got saved? Do you remember how wretched, miserable, lost and undone? You remember what life was like before Jesus made a difference in your life? You probably tried everything under the sun. Maybe you tried liquor. Maybe you tried drugs. Maybe you tried everything and found nothing of satisfaction. You tried it all, and yet when Jesus Jesus came, all of a sudden light came in your life. Darkness fled away. Sin was now washed away under the precious blood. Remember whence we came. Those men that walked through that Jordan River, they could say, hey, we wandered 40 years in the wilderness. We wandered out yonder. But thank God we're not in the wilderness. We're not in Egypt. We're in the promised land of God. Remember where you came from. Remember that, lest you be weary in well doing. Remember Calvary. Remember where you came from. My friend, listen, we need to also remember that we need to pay our vows to the Lord. Let me park there just a second. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Some folks make promises to God. Being a preacher for all these years, I'm sure you've heard people make a promise and say, oh God, if you'll just touch this body of mine, Lord, here I am on this sick bed. God, if you touch this cancer, God, if you just heal me, Lord, I know you can do it. And all of a sudden, God reaches down and everything is made well. And they say, oh, but God, if you'll just do that, I'll serve you. I'll get back in church. I'll live for you. I'll pay my tithe. I'll serve the Lord. And then about a month later, you can't find them. Hello? You say, oh me, or amen one? Amen. Amen. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes, it's better for us never to make a promise to God than to make a promise and not hold up to that promise. My friend, listen, we need to remember as we sit down, as we think about those promises we made to the Lord, those vows we made to the Lord, we need to remember that God hears those, God listens to those, and we need to say, God, I'm going to honor the promises that I made because you are holy, you are righteous. It's not because of the church, it's not because of the preacher, it's not because of anybody else, but I made a promise to God. And I'm going to keep that promise because he deserves. Remember where you came from. Remember Calvary. And then last of all this morning, remember those that made a difference in your life. Hebrews 13:7 says this, remember them that have the rule over you and have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith you follow. Somebody prayed for you. There was a mother or a dad or a church member somewhere. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody held you up before God. You didn't just come on your own. You didn't just decide one day to get saved. You need to remember those that have prayed over you, those that have taught you, those that have instructed you, those that have loved you, those that have cared for you, those that have uplifted you every time you were discouraged. A little card, a note would come in the mail. Every time you were down and downtrodden, somebody put a $5 bill in your hand. Every time you needed something, somebody come around and say, thank God for you. I love you in the Lord. We need to put those roses on while we can smell them. Amen. As beautiful as these flowers are this morning, they are not real. If you were to come up and try to smell those roses in this vase this morning, you'd probably get a nostril of dust. That's about all that you'd get. They're beautiful, but they're not real. But if this morning these were real flowers and this were real lilacs, you could smell the fragrance when you walked in the door. Aren't you glad for Christian friends and family and for a church? Amen? Think about that. What would life be like if some of those people were not in your life? As Brother Steve said this morning, the dear lady that came on just a few weeks ago, as we, Brother Steve and I sat out there and we talked for a good while after everybody was gone, but I remember his mom coming. I remember this lady coming and she ate the chicken dinner and here she came and now she's in the presence of the Lord. I'm glad that we had that opportunity to at least shake hands. I didn't know her personally. But listen, friend, wouldn't it be grand today that for all of us to say thank God for those that's made a difference in my life, those that's prayed for me, those that's upheld me, those that's encouraged me, those that's taught the Sunday school class, those that's done something for me. Thank God for them. Put the roses on while they can smell them. Not when they walk by and they're in a corpse. Thank God. Listen, this is the time to say thank God. I want to set a memorial. I want to say thank you, Lord, for your blessings on this old boy. Thank God for one another. Where will we be without good Christian friends? Where will we be without somebody to pray for us? I'm not bragging, but I call this lady's name out this morning. I said, Lord, Miss Tammy's been sick for such a long time. Would you just touch her? God, would you just touch her? And I'm sure many of you probably have prayed for her. We have. But what a joy it is to see her walk into church and sit down here. What a joy it is. Amen. Folks, that you can look around and say, listen, I'm glad that somebody prayed for me. I'm glad that somebody cared for me. I'm glad that somebody encouraged me. I'm glad somebody lifted me up when I was downtrodden. What a blessing that is. Many years ago, there was two sons of a king that were traveling. A great storm arose one night. They couldn't make it back to their kingdom. They couldn't make it back to the castle. They saw a little house. They went and knocked on the door. A little peasant man came to the door. And they said, sir, can we find lodging here? The storm has come up and we're out here in the woods. We're lost. We can't get back home. Could you help us out? And he said, come on in. I don't have much, but you're welcome. He invited those two boys in. They spent the night that night. They got up the next morning. They thanked the kind sir. They left. They went their way. A few days later, a knock came on his door. And as he opened the door, there stood one of the king's emissaries. And the emissary said unto him, the king is very grateful for the way that you have treated his two sons. The king has now built and prepared a house for you to come and live in and furnished it with everything you can imagine. And it is his gift to you for the kindness that you have shown to his two sons. 2,000 years ago, the King of Glory, the Lord Jesus, came into this world. We mistreated him. We beat him. We spat upon him. We nailed him to a cross. And yet, the King of Glory said, I still love them people. I still love mankind. Jesus, go to the cross. Jesus, die for them. Jesus resurrected on the third day for them. And thank God he said it at the right hand of God the Father. And one day he's coming back for you and for me. And Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into my that where I am, there you may be also. The King of Glory has prepared a home for me and has furnished it, decked it out, provided everything I needed. One of these days, I will inhabit that throne. I'll inhabit that kingdom. I'll inhabit that mansion prepared just for me because of the King who loved me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Miss Joanne, an unusual song I want you to play. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Here we are in America this morning. We have been blessed above measure. There are folks that would give their right arm to be sitting where you sit today. There are folks that would give everything they had in order to live in this country. And yet many times we go through this world without even thanking the one that made it all possible. Thank you, Lord. Daddy, what do these rocks mean? Grandpa, what are those rocks over yonder, that big pile of rocks? What does it mean? In the years to come, they will ask you, what meaneth these stones? Son, that was part of the blessings of God on my life. Son, daughter, that was what God did for me, what I couldn't do for myself. Son, that blessing of bringing us out of that Egyptian bondage, providing for us water when we had nothing to drink, providing food for us when we were hungry. Son, that's all about God.